HMS Ulysses, the novel by Alastair MacLean. Dramatized for radio by Nick McCarty. She never sailed alone, for death was her constant companion. But she was a lucky ship, 5,500 tons, 510 feet long, narrow in her 50-foot beam and rake stem, Clyde built to the last rivet. Locate, engage, destroy, her job. Destruction was her be-all and end-all. This is the story of that ship and of one perilous convoy to Russia through the northern seas, and her crew driven to the limit and beyond. This is their story. HMS Ulysses by Alastair MacLean. Dramatized for radio by Nick McCarty. HMS Ulysses.
You?
I was told to report to the Admiralty. I'm Nichols.
Off the Ulysses. Oh, please come in. They're expecting you.
I wasn't told much. What is it exactly?
Admiral Starr wants to know. That is to say, their lordships want to know what happened.
Oh, God.
Did I say something funny, Lieutenant Nichols?
Funny? Oh, no, not at all.
Speaking. Good evening.
Throughout the ship, in turrets and magazines, in engine rooms and boiler rooms, above and below deck, everywhere, conversation ceased. Then there was only the wind, the regular smash of the bows into the deepening troughs, the muffled roar of the great boiler room intake fans, and the hum of 100 electric motors. Tensions lay heavy over 730 officers and men.
It is my custom, at the beginning of each patrol, to inform you as soon as possible of what lies in store for every one of you.
I feel that you have a right to know, and that it is my duty. It is not always a pleasant duty. It never has been during these recent months. This time, however, I am almost glad. This is our last operation as a unit of the Home Fleet. In a month's time, God willing, we will be in the bed. But first, gentlemen, the job in hand. We rendezvous at 10:30 Wednesday, north of Iceland. Our third Russian convoy, gentlemen. I have never sought to mislead you. I will not now. The signs are not good.
We are fast. We hope to have the element of surprise on our side, but the Nazis will stop at nothing to stop this convoy. Nothing. There are 18 ships in the convoy. These ships carry tanks, planes, aviation spirit, and oil. Now you know the dangers.
And you also know how desperate is the state of Russia today.
I'm afraid we'll be in a mess again.
Shut up.
You want to do that run again? Bollocks.
There are enough stores in this convoy to change the character of the Russian war.
Bollocks to that, no.
There are some factors against us. We may be running into abnormal weather conditions, even for the Arctic. This means almost certainly no fighter cover.
What on earth is he saying? He'll ruin whatever morale is left.
Wait, boy.
There will be no rescue ships. None. Two, maybe three U-boat packs are out to around 70 latitude. German bombers are also there. And we know that Tirpitz is preparing to move out. We are the bait to spring that trap. This convoy must get through. In the last resort, Ulysses must cover the withdrawal of FR-77.
I know what I'm asking of you. I know how sick at heart you feel. I know what you've been through.
I ask you to go through it all once more. No one has the right to ask, I least of all. But I know you will not let me down. I know you will take Ulysses through. Good luck. God bless you. Good night.
All over the ship, silence for a long time. Those who had been looking at the speakers still gazed on. Others stared down at their hands or the glowing butts of forbidden cigarettes, oblivious to the acrid smoke that laced exhausted eyes. As if each man wanted to be alone, to look into his own mind, and knowing if he caught another's eyes, he'd no longer be alone. Strange silence, then, a wordless understanding rarely felt by men. A sunset of surpassing loveliness. The terrible stillness that falls over the huge bullrings of Madrid or Barcelona as the sword sinks true.
Well, Charlie?
I don't know, sir. Piled fear on fear, and yet...
And yet? No inducements, no hope, no appeal. And yet...
Monday afternoon, and the wind blew steady out of the nor-nor-east. A cold wind full of little knives. It carried with it snow and ice and the strange dead smell born of forgotten ice caps that lie beyond the barrier. Inexorably, the mercury crept down and down, and snow lay where it fell, piled against turrets and superstructure, sifted silent into the bridge and lay slushily underfoot, drifted soundlessly down hatches, crept along passages, defied gravity and slid up trouser legs under the skirts of coats and oilskins, under duffel hoods, and made a miserably wet world, soft, beautiful, and strangely muffled.
Evening, sir. Defense stations any minute. Mind if I stay in the sick bay tonight?
I thought your action station as junior medic was aft in the engineer's flat. Here. Take a look at this slide and tell me what you see.
Blood. Yes, blood. Oh, I see. Tuberculosis. In an advanced state. Whose?
Between you and me, boy, Captain Valerie. I was called to his cabin earlier, coughing his lungs up, blood all over, acute attack of hemoptysis. I wanted to examine him for weeks. A few more days like this, and he'll die.
Hey, Vasco. Kid, you're not asleep. Wake up.
Leave me alone, Nichols.
Lieutenant Andrew Carpenter. The K-pop kid, navigator extraordinaire, laid out in the wardroom with his huge fur-lined flying boots perched above the electric fire, his bizarre padded flying suit firmly closed against the chill, even here.
I was dreaming.
That damn girl again.
Scotty, I was back on the Thames in the Grey Goose. It was summer. Late summer, Johnny. Warm. Very still. Dressed all in green, she was. She was. Now go away, Nichols, and let me dream.
Indigestion, Daddy.
No soul. I wonder how the old man does it. He tells us we're actually going into the Valley of Death, and you actually feel good about it.
Between you and me, Andy. He's very sick.
Valerie? Sick? How sick? You're joking.
I'm not joking. Old Socrates says he's pretty far gone.
You mean... Johnny, is he dying?
Just then. Defense stations any minute. Come on. Ja. Shit. Shit, hear that? It's our own personal albatross. Charlie the Fokker Wolf come to play games. I hate that guy.
Steer 045, if you please.
Back again like a bad dream.
An albatross.
It's a Condor Navigator. A Condor, a German plane.
No, sir. Harm, sir. Bird of ill omen we dare not destroy. Ancient mariner.
Teach you something in Canada, Mr. Carpenter. I'm glad to hear it. There's no chance of a fighter escort, not in this sea. And so, Mr. Carpenter, your damned albatross leaves his charmed life and spots us for the U-boat packs.
Hands fell out from action stations and resumed defense stations. 48 hours without sleep was no cause for comment. And the horsemen of the apocalypse began to ride the ship. Men huddled in jerseys, coats, overcoats, duffels, oilskin scarves, balaclavas, helmets. They wore them all and still shivered. Pom-pom crews stamped their feet, swung their arms, and swore incessantly. Lonely Ehrlichan gunners, each jammed in his lonely cockpit, leaned against the built-in black heaters and fought off the Ehrlichan gunner's most insidious enemy, sleep. The sleep you froze to death. The horsemen rode death about the Ulysses now.
Well, watchman of the night?
Racing, sir.
And all out of control as usual, I suppose.
Well,
Captain Valery, you were supposed to stand down, I thought.
I think the curtain was about to go up.
Do you think the same, sir?
Yes. Yes, I don't particularly envy you, sir. I think I'd heave too, or better yet, make a run for it.
Terrible liar. There's 170 miles to go, according to young Carpenter.
Yes, there's 20 hours in this. That convoy needs us.
And we have Star's blood pressure to consider. John, hold on. God, what on earth? What on earth's that?
What is blood?
I'm afraid, I'm sorry.
I'll be okay in a minute.
Blood? Have you seen the sawbones?
Oh, there's nothing to worry about, he says.
He said you were a terrible liar. Now, John, listen. We'll share the duties. Carrington and me and Turner.
No. Oh, Socrates can fix me up. Temporarily, anyway. Something technical about plasma transfusion. Plasma may prevent, well, minimize future attacks.
What I'll do.
The curtain raiser was a wind steady at force 9. The sky a livid, glaring purple, faintly menacing. The sea, though, was the true menace, building inexorably through the day, and between crest and mounting crest, the squadron headed directly, burying their bows every 15 seconds, creaming a smother of white that allowed the other danger to work. Cold. Ice formed in cabins and mess decks, froze water systems solid, froze door hinges, the oil and searchlight controls. If a man put his bare hand on a handrail, the palm seared off. Flying spray became flying ice, which cut to the bone, and over the decks and spars and combings and turrets, silver ice loaded the ship. It trebled the diameter of stays and wires and halyards. 300 tons of ice gleaming under the pale Arctic light, and at every dip into the waves, more added. Far and weird and glowing, the horizon of another world.
Captain, are you awake?
We are not now that strength which in old days moved heaven and earth, but I'm awake. I'm quoting Tennyson.
I see. Good. There are two signals. Port Patrick is leaking like a sieve, and Gannett's signal's breaking up.
And the rest of the message?
That's it. It's one of those taciturn characters.
We'll get the carriers to stream oil. That'll keep the sea down a bit. Get the convoy line astern of them. It should help, sir.
Oh, sure. Here you are, pilot. Wind nor'west.
back in a slightly...
Position?
1240 west, 6616 north. Can I put the chart in your bunk, sir?
Oh, yes. Okay. Now, if we had to seek shelter to fuel...
Well, of course, exactly 290, sir. I've penciled it in. 4 hours steaming.
Well, how the devil did you do that? Who told you?
It seems inevitable, sir. 290 will take us inside the Langoness Peninsula.
Inevitable? Would you listen to him, Captain Valerie? Inevitable? And it's only just occurred to me. Out. Go on. Inevitable!
Sir.
And as soon as the screen has taken up position, tell Bentley to send them the new course. Go on! I'm a crusty old curmudgeon. And shut that damn door! We're freezing in here!
The weather hit, and the sea... The sea, long ribbons of white, began to streak the water. It was impossible to breathe without turning out of the wind. Towering waves, 1,000, 2,000 feet in length, pushed up by a 60-knot wind. A church steeple would be lost forever.
Christ Almighty. Christ help us.
The wave that hit Defender was terrible. It took Defender up on its own length, 500 feet up, then dropped her with a noise like thunder into the trough. An age ticked by. She lay buried to her bridge island in a sea of foaming white. Agonizingly, she broke surface, water cascading off her bows. The force of unknown thousands of tons of water had peeled the flight deck back like a sardine can. Another ship sent back.
There's a light failure on the lower yardarm. We'll need a volunteer.
It is madness.
It needs doing.
Ralston volunteered. Lieutenant Karslake was holding the safety transmit boards that stopped radio transmissions and a 3,000-volt circuit being completed on the yardarm. 60 feet up on a pitching ship in freezing cold. Dangerous work. It had to be done fast. It interfered with radio transmission.
Okay, sir. He's here.
Captain Bowery, sir.
Good God above, what is this?
Ralston, hands hanging torn and raw, forehead masked by freezing blood, and lying in a corner, Sub-Lieutenant Karslake, moaning in agony, fingering his smashed mouth and the torn, bleeding gaps in his teeth.
Devastone, explain.
Ralston hit him, sir.
Karslake, let's have a look.
A wireless messenger came up to the safety transmit boards. Karslake gave them to him.
Ralston?
He tried to murder me. It was deliberate. He returned the boards 5 minutes before I left the yard, and if they had begun transmitting before, 3,000...
Times a damned filthy lie. I never... Stop!
Mr. Hastings, put that man under arrest. Sub-Lieutenant Karslake can go to sick bay and will then be confined to his cabin.
Sir, it was nothing to do... listen to me.
Get off the bridge, Karslake. You're in the way. Get Commander Brooks here. Put the captain in the shelter. Bentley. Hands here.
Well, Socrates, how is he?
A miracle, he's still at his feet at all.
I'm fine. All the better for that plum duff. Thank you, Spicer.
More, sir?
No, thank you.
Right, sir. Coffee?
Ah, civilization.
Spicer's a mother hen, aren't you, lad?
Message from the convoy, sir.
Oh, very good. Carry on, Spicer. On course, sea moderate, wind freshening. Expect rendezvous as planned, Commodore 77.
Seas moderate? Then why are we treating 24 men for smashed arms and legs?
Fresh wind. Is he in the same damned ocean as us? Bentley, make a signal. You are running into a severe storm. You may be delayed. We'll await arrival.
Radio silence?
Add radio silence. Admiral 14 carrier squadron. At once. Then tell WT to shut down themselves.
Sir.
Sugar?
Ah, thank you, sir.
What'll you do with Ralston?
I truly don't know. He's lost his mother, brother, three sisters. I believe he has a father at sea somewhere. There's a weather report from the transmitting station. The barometer is steady at 27.8.
Good God. This seems to be a complicated way of committing suicide.
Do we wait here?
We have a rendezvous to make.
At 20:30, Ulysses and Cirrus, under Captain Orr, got underway to the east. Lights winked messages of good luck. At 20:40, 2 miles short of Langeness Point, Cirrus was plunging into mountainous seas. At 20:45, at reduced speed, she inched into such shelter as she could find, and her Aldous lamp flashed.
Screen doors stove in. A turret not tracking. Flooding port boiler room.
Intake. Send the message. Rejoin squadron at once. You can't come out to play with the big boys.
That'll make war cross. What's he sending back, Bentley?
Roger. Just you wait till I grow up.
On Wednesday night, the convoy of ships was moving steadily up the west. 15 modern cargo ships, 3 16,000-ton tankers, tanks, planes, and petrol for the Russians to continue their heroic struggle against the Nazis. FR-77 had to get through, come hell or high water, and had already lost Eager, a minesweeper, and Wrestler, a carrier. Ulysses was at action stations as the shadowy shape of the convoy a mile ahead lifted out of the gloom. The great bulk of Blue Ranger on the starboard quarter was unmistakable. Breeze light from the west, temperature just below zero, sky chill and cloudless, the time exactly 0700. At 0702, Blue Ranger was torpedoed. Blue Ranger was a tanker. Other ships went looking for the U-boat. There was a pack waiting for us in Strength. Naval intelligence had not predicted them here. It was unfortunate.
Aztec Bridge, contact. Red 040.
Contact, contact.
Signal from Vectra. Depth charging, 3, repeat, 3 contacts. Request immediate assistance.
Port 10.
Bastards.
Port 10. Midships.
Midships, sir.
Steady as she goes.
Blue Ranger was heeling over. Ammunition and petrol going up. The whole body of the ship rolled into the glacial darkness of the sea, taking God knows how many men down deep into the Arctic. The lucky ones. Then...
Starboard 10, steady.
Steady, sir.
The sea was a flat calm under a swinging mat of fuel oil. And in the middle, the sea was alive with swimming, struggling men. Not a handful, not even dozens, but literally hundreds. Soundlessly screaming, agonizingly dying in the barbarous contrariety of drowning cremation. The oil was a blazing inferno.
Port 15, engine room, revolutions for 20 knots. Steady.
Port 15, steady, sir.
Oil in the sea clogs a man's movements, sears his lungs, burns his eyes, and tears away his stomach in uncontrollable retching. But oil on fire is a hellish thing. A slow, shrieking death by drowning, by burning, by asphyxiation. For the flames devour the oxygen on the surface, and for an oil-insulated body there is no merciful extinction by cold, only a carefully preserved, excruciating agony.
Steady as she goes.
Ulysses held her course for 200 men who had somehow gathered together, seething out their lives. Men battered at their flaming hair, arched clear of the water in tautened bows, seeing Ulysses coming forth for a moment of rescue and...
Starboard 30.
Sir. Starboard 30, sir.
3 times Ulysses slewed round in racing turns into the thickest press of dying men. The concussion and the pressure waves pressed the agony out of them, thrust them down into the water, sucked them into the scything screws. Men wept. Man in the water gave the thumbs up sign. Man who looked as if he'd been barbecued on a spit. Raised his blackened claws to the hole where his mouth had been. And flung us a kiss. Another raised himself, lifted his cap and bowed to us gravely and deeply as Ulysses pressed him down, down.
I can see that man kissing. I see him every time I close my eyes. I'm sorry, Evan. You must excuse me. I see... Sorry.
Port 10, steady.
Port 10, steady, sir.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you, sir.
I sometimes wonder about forgiveness.
Get out of my way now.
Here, Captain. Come. Come with me. Come with me, sir.
You'll be in the sick bay. Captain's been it.
Prison stores hit. No one hurt. Lower power room 3 has been hit. Men in there dead. Chief torpedo gunners made noise was one, sir. 9 officers, 7 ratings, sir.
Turner, it's time London heard the news.
Admiral Scar will go puce. I'd like to see that.
Admiral 14 ACS to DNC London. Rendezvoused FR 77 10:30 yesterday. Weather extreme. Severe damage carriers. Defender wrestler returning to base under escort. Blue Ranger torpedoed 17.
Blue Ranger sunk 17:30 today. Convoy escorts now Ulysses, Sterling, Cirrus, Vectra, and Viking. No minesweepers. Urgent need air support. Can you detach carrier battle squadron? Alternatively, permission return base. Advise immediately. Our intelligence is tepid, so we'll go for the convoy. FR-77 has to go on. Send that in 2 hours.
Sir, send in 2 hours.
You saw that? You saw that? Oh, bloody murder that was. That Bullaby's a murderer.
Thank you, big lad.
How you think or something? He's a bastard. He drowned how many bloody hundreds? Devil it. Not stopping for anyone. Not helping shipmates. Loyalty, that two-faced bastard. He deliberately steers him.
Riley, did you see him? Did you?
I bet the officers got out of it all right. Man, those stinking life rafts.
It's when the skipper wanted to do it. The mercy. The pride of life.
Pray, stand up for the safety, Mallory. I want him tried for it, bloody murderer.
Oh, I'm missing the wound. He did the right thing with him. I say, shut up, really.
Duff.
What's going on here? Peterson.
Stoker Riley fell over, sir. She's a bit rough for him, sir. Come on, mate. On your feet.
Riley.
Fell over, sir.
The captain of Ulysses lay in his bunk, partly undressed, between very clean, very white sheets. The knife-edged crease marks, an odd contrast with the spreading crimson stain. Blood trickled from one corner of his mouth. Admiral Tyndall, looking down at him, was conscious that he was, first and last, a man of action.
It's not really the doctor I need. It's the Padre. And forgiveness.
So,
What on earth do you mean?
Forgiveness from the living? The dead? Or the judge?
But how the hell...
From
were you listening?
Three, Doc. A tall order, I'm afraid.
From the dead, sir, you are right. There would be none. Only that blessing, dear man. I'm a doctor. I saw those boys in the water. You sent them home the easy way. As for the judge, the Lord giveth. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No mercy, no charity. Old Testament stuff. If that were truly the judge, none of us would want any part of him. You know it isn't so. Though much is taken, much abides.
We are not now that strength which in old days moved heaven and earth. Pity you can't speak for the living, Doctor.
Oh, can't I indeed? 15 minutes since, a bunch of sympathetic stokers deposited on the deck of sickbay the prone and unconscious form of one Riley. Slight concussion, facial injuries, ribs bruised.
Fallen down a ladder?
So it seems, yes. Young Nichols took two aside and promised no action. Riley was calling into question your dubious parentage. He called you a murderer when he thought he was safe. They half killed him. You know, sir, I envy you. If you just roll up your sleeve.
DNO to Admiral Commanding 14 ACS. Tirpitz reported preparing to move out. Impossible detached fleet carrier. FR 77 Vital. Proceed Murmansk.
All speed. Good luck, Star. Good luck. He might have spared us that. Who in God's name is going to forgive that vindictive bastard?
Charlie came back at midday on Thursday with three others. Their bombs were clear from the moment they left the bomb base. Easy to avoid. The condors flew away unharmed by fire from the merchant ships and escorts.
Signal. Stay at action stations.
Action stations.
But, sir...
I know they need sleep, I know. Give it 15 minutes in case they come back.
Director Tower Bridge. Red. 010, light in water.
Who's in the Director Tower?
Efston, sir.
Director to Pom Pom, U-boat, red 060... Range 100 yards. Moving aft. Repeat, red 060. Can you see it? Red 060. Red 070. Commence tracking.
On target, sir.
Open fire. Fire at will.
Sir, Captain of the Gun Kingston is not here.
Never mind, Kingston. Open fire, you fools. Now. I will take full responsibility. No! No, belay the last order! Cease fire! Cease fire!
John! Atherston, we forgot to order the removal of the metal muzzle covers. The shells were fused to explode on contact.
They did.
In the muzzle of the guns. Criminal negligence.
We therefore commit their bodies to the deep, to be turned into corruption, looking for the resurrection of the body.
Men stood silently, unmovingly, as one by one, the 13 figures shrouded in weighted canvas, slid down the tipped plank into the Arctic and were gone.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses.
Atherston shot himself in the loneliness of his cabin a few hours later. The U-boat turned out to be an old lifeboat from some long-forgotten convoy.
Contact closing. Steady on course. Interception speed. Speed unchanged.
Well, there's trouble, Captain. Radar reports. Surface vessel approaching fast. Interception course for us.
Not one of ours, of course. It couldn't be
Tappet!
Tappet, well, Tappet's was my first thought, but no, the Admiralty and Air Force are watching her like a broody hen over her eggs. Probably some heavy cruiser.
Radar bridge, closing.
How far ahead is the convoy, sir?
Pilot?
Six and a half miles.
Ooh, slipping. 2 days ago, we'd have had it down to the nearest yard. Strain telling, is it? Bowden tells us he won't have picked up the convoy. Bowden has no opinion of German radar.
5 miles. Repeat, 5 miles. Course speed constant.
It's time to trail our coats a little. Due east, I think. It'll look as though we're covering the tail of the convoy and heading for the North Cape.
Starboard 10.
Starboard 10, sir.
Speed 26 knots.
Radar bridge. Constant distance ordering on interception course.
Excellent. Really excellent. We have him. He's missed the convoy. Commence firing by radar.
Gun director? Oh, Courtney, you do just that.
Yeah, smart as a whip, that boy.
Already been tracking for the past 10 minutes. Just a matter of pressing the button, he said.
Sounds uncommonly like our pilot here.
Starboard 30, full ahead. Make smoke.
Starboard 30, sir.
We need a star shell or two. Good boy!
Yes, sir. Thursday, HIP class, 10,000 tons, 8-inch guns and carries aircraft.
Whoa. Don't waste time, do they? And good shooting at that. Racket it on the first two salvos, they'll straddle us the next time.
Well done, young Cornelius! Direct hit on the starboard deck, on the bridge.
Then we will stop to argue the point.
More smoke, Mr. Dobson, if you please.
Think we might take him well off our scent. When's it dark?
17:32, sir. Give it take a second or so.
Well then. At 17:32, give or take, I want a course to take us back to our convoy, which should be 200 miles north of him by then. Think you can get us back there, pilot?
Tyndall had been told that on latitude 70, their lordships expected the biggest concentration of U-boats. He had ignored official orders to break for the North Cape. FR-77 had, on that clear, windless dawn, blundered straight into the heart of the heaviest concentration of U-boats encountered in the Arctic during the course of the war.
Contact. Red ahead. Contact. Contact.
Bending hold.
Contact.
Coachella.
Third vessel in the port line. 3 million gallons of 100-octane fuel.
Three hits.
First two broke her in half. Third blew her out of existence.
1 minute sailing serenely through limpid sunlight. Next, utterly obliterated. Cirrus hit.
By flying winch from Coachella. Destroyed radar office.
Tennessee Adventurer.
Wheelhouse and bridge gone. Not under command.
Planter struck by Adventurer. 10,000 tons dead weight at 15 knots. Planter sinking. Lifeboats clear of Adventurer.
Adventurer's lifeboats found a month later. Tide line ahead off the iron coast of Bear Island. Log by the captain's side empty. They'd frozen to death on the first night.
Sir! Captain, sir! Sir, please, sir, something flashing to the south. Flash twice. There it goes again!
Where, boy? Bearing.
Red 050, sir.
I see nothing.
Please, sir, they're there, sir.
Well, they might be. Might be the sea catching a periscope, making a quick sweep.
There! Two! No! Three flashes! I did see them, sir! I did! Please, sir, please!
Hard aport, Captain! Bentley, the signal.
Hard aport, sir.
So, on the word of a boy, convoy FR-77 came round to the south. Suddenly the sea was alive with torpedoes. 10, 20, 30 running shallow through the glassy sea. They fanned out to encompass the whole convoy. Delicately incandescent and evil.
Ulysses heeled over and then ran between a lane of four torpedoes a bare boat's length from the side. A freighter and a tanker in the port line were hit and kept on coming.
The freighter behind them was carrying tanks. torpedoed 3 times in 3 seconds. No smoke, no fire, no after explosion. Ripped from stem to stern, she sank still on an even keel.
The Belle Isle was torpedoed amidships and was instantly on fire.
Some of the crew made it to a lifeboat as the merchantman exploded twice. They pulled hard, directly under the screws of Baddeley, as she too was hit.
Swimming men who have been close to an underwater high explosion have no hope. The remains, impossible to look at, even for pathologists used to horrors.
Viking, Vectra, and Cirrus were weaving complex patterns less than 2 miles away, depth charges cascading from either side of their quarterdecks.
Bentley, make a signal. Sterling, take over. Proceed eastward. We'll join all and sort out those murdering bastards.
Sir, that first U-boat is about a mile south.
Are you presuming to tell me? What did you say, pilot?
He's had time to reload by now, and he's in perfect position.
Quite right. It's damn near you're right as usual. Thank you, Carpenter.
The U-boats had already broken off the action. Then fog came, and the scattered convoy came together. All ships streaming fog boys.
14 ships left Scarpa, 18 left St. John, 32 ships in convoy FR-77. 17 are left. Tennessee Adventure is a dead duck, a sitting target for any U-boat or bomber. Admiral Tyndall was a broken man.
Well, sir. Doing wonderfully, aren't I?
Blame yourself, sir.
I tell you, whatever Star does to me when I get back, I've no kick coming, not after this. All I can do is ponder my next miscalculation. Looks as if I've already made it.
Sir?
What was that?
A shell came from the stern, more or less.
I have a damn good idea who it is.
It's our friend from last night, that destroyer. How the bloody hell did that damn fox find us? Bridge. Admiral speaking. Lieutenant Bowden, report.
Bowden speaking, sir.
Radar sleeping down there or what? We are being attacked, Lieutenant, by surface craft, which may be news to you. Oh, hell.
Sorry, sir, we can't seem to pick him up.
Well, he's picked us up, Bowden, and got our range accurately in a damn pea super of a fog. Where the devil is he on your confounded screen?
We still have Adventurer on our screen, and there is a very slight distortion on his bearing, sir. Approximately 300. I suggest the enemy ship is screened by Adventurer.
Well, does Bowden expect me to believe a million to one coincidence that an enemy ship accidentally holds the only course to shield her from our radar? Fantastic, isn't it?
Well, the U-boat pack could have radioed her, giving our bearing and course. The rest is easy.
Of course, what a bloody fool I am. Bowden.
Sir.
You still believe she is shielded by Adventurer?
Can't be anything else, sir.
Which means this bandit is what?
10 miles away, sir.
And firing dead accurately.
He must be firing by radar, sir. I never believed German radar was great shakes. Intelligence, sir.
Well, intelligence should stand where I'm standing, Bowden. Well, Captain, your boss was so damn clever circling and weaving and leading our friend astray, and all the time he watched us on his screen and knew. He knew.
And the Admiral thought of the millions of gallons of fuel lost, the tanks and planes and the many thousands of dead Russians that would represent, and the sorrowing families the length of Britain, telegram boys cycling to little houses in Welsh valleys, along the wooded lanes of Surrey, to the lonely reek of the peat fire on the Western Isles, cottages in Antrim and Donegal, Canada, America. He thought of the lives he had so criminally squandered.
Cruiser has to be destroyed.
Sir?
I propose to detach the escorts, including ourselves. A simple tactical exercise that may even be within my limited compass. Sterling and ourselves will take the south and soak up his fire. Or in Cirrus will approach from the north. In this fog, they'll get close before using their torpedoes. He shouldn't have much of a chance.
Well, if that's exactly what he wants. Pull us off, leaving the convoy uncovered.
Oh, damn it, man. If it weren't for their fog boys, our ships couldn't see each other.
What if he's in contact with a wolf pack? Or another ship equipped with radar? Maybe he wants us to be too clever for our own good.
John, we have got to do something. Bentley?
Sir?
Take this signal.
And the Admiral made his final miscalculation.
Radar bridge, enemy turning 180 about, heading southeast, 28 knots.
Captain, I propose Cirrus and Ulysses proceed southeast at maximum speed. WT to signal Vectra.
Radar bridge, course 312, steady.
Got him! B turret, fire at will.
He's pulling us away from the convoy.
Bridge, please acknowledge we have been hit at.
Admiral, are you all right, sir?
I'm all right, Dad. It's a broken wrist.
AA gunnery tower gone with it.
You?
I'm all right. Courtney is dead.
WT Bridge.
Davis, the same.
Request for instruction. Urgent.
Valerie looked into the body of the Ulysses and saw a lad the same age as Chrysler, crucified under a spar across the gun he had manned. Valerie turned away, sick of the horror. He knew he had no fire control towers, no radar. He'd been thrown to the wolves with a vengeance. Firing had ceased.
I'm not very well. I'm going below.
Chrysler, not too young to understand something of the tragedy, held open the gate and caught Tyndall as he stumbled. The boy looked back, pleading for permission. Valerie gave the boy a compassionate nod. Side by side, young and old, they moved slowly aft. The Admiral had been outfoxed.
Sir, can I have a word in private?
Commander?
I know you hate rum, sir, but... Face facts, man. We need you now more than ever. You're almost dead on your feet. Now, this might keep you going a few more hours.
Oh, you put things so nicely. Very well, then, against my better judgment. And you give me an idea, Commander. Pipe up spirits. Double ration to each man. They, too, are going to need it. Especially the burial party. Splice the main brace.
Sir, I'm a fiddle, sir. And a good rent, sir. Mm-hmm. Sir, please, sir, put the fire out. Mm-hmm. Don't light any more, sir, please.
Oh, Spicer. Good. Good man. Then I have to burn the ship's papers. Secret. I've got to keep them from the enemy. I've got to burn it all.
Sir, you set us up.
Please, sir, leave it to me, sir. I'll do it, sir, I'll do it. Best if you rest now. Leave it to me. On your books.
I've got to do it, my boy. It's the safety. It's the safety of the convoy. It depends on the secret orders. Oh, will you do it then? I'll rest a bit out there. It's better. I trust you, my boy. Good.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Poor old Booker.
Johnny! Sorry to wake you, but it's still about you.
Oh, but only like a few.
Worse, I'd say. Had you any of that poison left?
Not the stuff from Cole, no, you drunk it all.
Ah, oh, well.
Let's see. Here we are. Lysol.
Oh, no. It hasn't been that bad.
Talisker, under any other name.
Oh. You know, my boy, you have the makings of a first-class doctor. Health?
Not after today. 44 of them, sir. Over the side in 10 minutes. Like so many sacks of rubbish. It took 5 or 6 men to stretch them. Looked like zombies, most of them. Kept tripping, falling over things. Sleeping their feet. Star may have a low opinion of these men. I don't. You think what it's like to find an arm or a head, and you know it's a mate. No one has the right to cast doubt on them who wasn't there. Look at muttering, lucky bugger, or he died easy. Or old Tyndall off his head, lucky sod. I don't think anyone in the burial party had dinner. This is just murder or suicide.
No, Johnny.
He's only got to give the order, sir. What does he want? Death or glory? Immortality at our expense? Maybe Riley was right.
The captain is the finest gentleman that walked this godforsaken earth. For John Valerie, death does not exist. Glory! The London Gazette and all the bookhouses in the world can't give him the glory he wants. As for immortality, I ask you, Johnny, it'd be damn stupid to ask for what he already has. Now, another drop of that excellent Lysol, and then you go and take the captain on a walkabout.
Next step up and I'll be in the gutter. Sorry.
Yeah, me too, for shooting my mouth off. I mean it, though. Two are enemies, Johnny. They're downfall and confusion. And don't forget Admiral Starr. The captain radioed London this morning and gave his considered opinion that FR-77 would be annihilated. His word. He asked to be allowed to go north about instead of east for the Cape. We are still bait for turbans. Signal from the First Sea Lord and Star. We are expendable. The captain wants you on the bridge.
The captain went on a tour of the ship to talk to his men. He should have been dead, and yet he was determined to see and speak to his men.
I went with him, and I began to understand what Brooks had meant.
Valerie, Nichols, and Chief Petty Officer Hartley started at the quarterdeck. Hartley worked like a Trojan that night, opening and shutting dozens of watertight doors, lifting and lowering countless heavy hatches, knocking off and securing the thousands of clips that held these doors and hatches in place, and after 10 minutes, lending Valerie the support of his powerful arm.
No, Chief, no need. I can manage.
Oh, please, sir.
Down the long vertical ladder to Y magazine, a dimly lit dungeon where butchers and bakers had a cold and dirty job that was terribly dangerous. The 4-inch armor encasing them gave about as much protection as a sheet of newspaper to an 8-inch shell or a torpedo. These men walked endlessly between the magazine walls. Walls of shells and cartridge cases, soaking wet, dripping icy condensation.
Men!
No. It's all right as you were. Gardner, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Tell me, what is all this trudging about in here?
Ice. We have to keep the water moving or it'll freeze in a couple of minutes. We can't have ice on the magazine floor.
Yeah, but surely the pumps.
Solid.
But surely this doesn't go on all the time.
In flat weather, all the time, sir.
Good Lord. You, boy, what's your name?
McQuaita, sir.
And what's your job, McQuaita?
Assistant cook, sir.
How old are you?
18, sir.
From Glasgow, eh?
Yes, sir.
Why aren't you wearing your sea boots?
We don't get issued with them, sir.
Yeah, but your feet must be soaking, man.
I don't know, sir. I think so. It doesn't matter. I can't feel them.
How could Valerie realize the distressing picture he himself presented? His bloodless face, his mouth and nose daubed with crimson, the dark, sodden hand towel clutched in his left glove. Don't believe he ever thought of himself. He leaned and put an arm round the shoulder of this boy.
Tell me, honestly, are you tired, boy?
I am that. I mean, aye, sir.
Can you go on a bit longer?
Of course I can, sir. Of course I can.
It was like that wherever we went. We climbed up and out of that freezing hall into a brilliant cold night. It was the start of a journey into hell for Valerie. But for them, it meant so much.
Number 3, low power room. Oh, no. It's gone, of course. Noise was killed there, wasn't it?
We went to every corner where Valerie knew a man might be closed up at his action station. The starboard torpedo tubes, with the crew huddled in the lee of the wrecked bosun's locker.
LTM there, how are things going?
All right, sir. I think young Smith's left foot's gone, sir. It's frostbite, sir.
I'll take it below at once. Organise the crew into 10-minute watches. One to keep a telephone watch here, and the other in the engineer's flat.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Past the torpedo shop. Valerie was leaning heavily on Peterson's arm, and when it came to ladders, he said it was like being in a lift as the huge man helped his captain up. We came to the Erlikon gun, our feet silent in the snow. The gunner was hunched forward in his cockpit. Valerie touched his shoulder.
Things all right, Gunner? Gunner. Jesus, man's asleep at action stations. We're all dead from lack of sleep, but his mates need him. Take his name.
4-4, sir. His name's Lefkin. He's dead,
sir. His fuse has failed. He froze to death, sir.
Around this time, a contact was made, and depth charges began to explode. We were deep inside the TS.
The TS is a death trap. 20 feet below water level, forward the B magazine full of shells, aft the boiler room, on either side fuel tanks, and below the unprotected hull. Above them a series of hatches which could easily warp and lock solid under the shock of an explosion. The idea of the hatches, after all, was that they could seal off any flooded compartments below. One stray spark. 8 ratings and an officer sat at a table under a notice saying no smoking. The air was blue with smoke.
Anyone got a light? Thanks.
Does it always sound like that down here?
More or less, sir. Usually more.
Nice big fuel tanks all round you. Frankly, I'd rather have my job, wouldn't have yours for a pension. Well, hang on a minute. Have our smoke in peace. Count our blessings when we leave, eh?
Excuse me, sir. I think you might like this. I tell you I've got, sir, but this is clean, sir. Oh,
thank you, Peterson. That's kind of you.
You hear there? You hear there? Captain, on the bridge. Urgent. Captain, on the bridge. Urgent. Captain, on the bridge. Urgent. Urgent. Urgent.
Captain Valerie clutched the handrail of the port ladder leading up to the forecastle deck. He tried to see over the darkened water, his breath coming in whooping gasps. He realized that the run from the forepeak had all but killed him. Then he saw it, a great column of flame, hundreds of feet high. Even from half a mile away, the roar of the flames was almost intolerable.
Peterson, bridge, please!
Vitura, sir. Bloody fine lighthouse for any German ship or plane that might be looking for us.
Yeah, brilliant piece of work by the U-boat. Almost total darkness, too.
He set himself up with a convoy of targets all beautifully lit.
Oh, by Cura, we'll have to go.
Yes.
Pilot, number one. Any idea who the master of Vitura is?
None. The papers have been burned, sir. Admiral Tennant.
Yes, sir. Carrington, to the master Vitura. Please abandon ship immediately. We are going to sink you.
We'll take it from the starboard. Port control was smashed this morning when the foremast went down.
All right, starboard it is.
The Admiral, sir, is coming on the bridge.
Admiral Tyndall came through the gate leading toward them. He seemed in the deep shadow cast by the bridge almost disembodied. The bare head sparsely covered with thin, straggling wisps of white. The grey, pitifully sunken face. The stooped shoulders thin under black oilskins. He padded to Valerie's side, picked up the binoculars, and slowly quartered the horizon. Turner noticed first.
No gloves. He's got no gloves. Sir, your gloves, sir.
And cover your head, sir. It's cold.
Cold. Is it cold? I'm not cold. Cold.
Sir, please go below.
My feet. My feet.
He's got nothing on his... He's barefoot. His feet are frozen solid. Oh, God, help him. He's in pajamas.
Take Admiral Tyndall to sick bay. Now, do it now.
Cold. I'm no hat. I'm no hat, you see. That's all. Oh, no, no. Put up.
Carrington? Did Vitura reply?
Sir, message reads, are you hell? Try it and I'll ram you. Engine intact. We can make it.
Signal, you are endangering the whole convoy. Abandon ship at once. Repeat, at once.
I take my hat off to him. How would you like to sit on enough fuel to blow the kingdom come? I hate threatening a man like that. Carrington.
He says he's going to leave the convoy, sir. Proceed on his own.
You will bloody well do as you're ordered. Bloody insolence!
What is it, Commander?
The torpedo officer. Your friend Rolston, sir. Asking us not to torpedo the tanker, suggesting we might use artillery.
Get down there, Commander Turner. Carrington, signal Cirrus. Circle well astern. Pick up survivors from Vitura's lifeboats.
Rolston! Please, don't ask me to torpedo that ship.
Have you lost your mind? Man those tubes.
I hate to send one of our own to the bottom.
She's endangering the whole convoy. You just obey orders.
There are other LTMs cooking one of their ships.
Get up there!
Number one. Commander speaking. All set here.
Bentley.
Signal, we are going to fire in 3 minutes. Last signal. Port 20, pilot.
He's signaling, sir. Sir, a message reads, why don't you piss off? Nuts to the senior service. Tell him I send all my love.
What, all my love? What on earth? Tell the commander to stand by.
Stand by, Ralston. 2 minutes. X and Y only. Medium settings. Target 11 knots.
90 seconds. Pilot, starboard 10.
You're on your own, Ralston.
For God's sake, sir, is there no other?
20 seconds. Do you want 1,000 lives on your lily-livered conscience? You dare, miss.
Don't worry, I won't miss.
Thank you, Commander.
Don't thank this conchy bastard. Lily-livered...
In a moment, Commander. Pilot, we'll need the Master's name for the report. Check, will you?
Don't bother, he's dead, isn't he?
Don't you dare speak to
it
the Captain!
It makes no difference. His name was Ralston. Michael Ralston. He was my father.
There. Captain Orr. And Cirrus has some seriously injured men. You volunteered to go by Jack's Day transfer.
I hate Fairground Rise.
You're saved for the moment. To be Dummy Admiral's legs.
Will he survive?
What for? A poor wandering mind, no legs, the reputation shut away. What for? What's the old man want to live, huh? So...
Captain Valerian Brooks were with him when he died. He talked about family and then just closed his eyes.
He had no family.
No one had slept. A night of constant alarms. Depth charting, ASDIC contacts. There was not a single depth charge left. When the Wolfpacks discovered that, they could strike at will.
For 2 more hours, the men would stand too. Men reduced to physically broken, mentally scourged, agonized hulks. They had no need to stand and shame, these men of Ulysses. The men on the guns, in the torpedo tubes, on what was left. On what was left.
Condors, sir.
Condors? Are you sure?
All right, condors they are. Well, Captain, where's my tin hat?
Condors, the boy says.
Independent fire control for all turrets. Present position.
7220 north. 1340 East.
No point in radio silence now, Commander.
Not much.
Take a message to DNO London. How are our friends, Commander?
Climbing. In from high, over the stern.
FR-77, 1600. 7220, 1340. Steady on 090. Force 9 North. Heavy swell. Situation.
Desperate. Deeply regret. Admiral Tyndall died 1,200 hours today. Tanker Vitura torpedoed last night, sunk by self. Washington State sunk 0145 today. Vectra sunk 1515. Electra sunk 1539. And being attacked by 12 minimum Fokker Wolf 200s. Imperative send help. Air cover essential. Advise.
They came, 500 feet up, 3 in line ahead in the first wave. The convoy had scattered as Code H demanded. It seemed that Ulysses was their only target. In the dusk, tracers, glowing, hot pinpoints of light streaking out into the darkening sky into the first planes for 2 seconds. And then they were leveled out at 100 feet. and the 250-kilo bombs began to fall, and after 20 months of good fortune, luck ran out for Ulysses.
Two of the planes took direct hits. Then a shell from X turret took the starboard wing off a Condor, and the plane, in a vertical dive, arrow straight, hit Ulysses with a roar, a blinding sheet of flame, and exploded in the after seaman's mess and the marine's mess deck. The Condors left, leaving Ulysses defenseless.
X-turret intact. No survivors.
Plastic bridge.
Fires in after mess deck.
Plastic bridge.
Sir, please, sir.
Yes, what is it, Bentley?
Why magazine wants to speak to a gunnery officer, sir?
You tell him he's not available. We haven't time. Signal code H continues. Where did you say, Bentley?
Why magazine, sir?
Why? Let me have that phone.
Sir.
Why magazine? Captain speaking. What is it? No, speak up, man. I can't hear you. Damn. Can you switch this receiver onto the relay amplifier? I can't hear the damn thing.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. It's McQuater, isn't it?
Aye, it's me, sir. How did you guess?
Never mind that, McQuater. Who's in charge down there? It's Gardner, isn't it?
Yes, sir, Gardner.
Yeah, well, put him on, will you?
I can't, sir. Gardner's dead.
Dead? Did you say
not
dead?
The only one, sir. I was knocked out myself. I'm fine now.
What happened?
How should I know? I mean, I don't know, sir. A hell of a bang. Gardner's mouth's all blood.
How many left?
Just Barker, Williamson, and myself, sir. Just us.
And are they all right?
Ach, they're fine. Barker thinks he's dying. He's in a gay bad way, sir. I think he's gone gay, sir.
He's gone what?
Loony, sir. Daft. Some bloody nonsense about going to his maker after a lifetime of swindling.
Barker, canteen manager, sir. What a surprise.
Williams is busy shoving cartridges back onto the racks. Floor's lit up with the bloody things. What's to be done, sir?
We're done about what?
Why, magazine? It's hotter than the hinges of hell, sir.
Hot? How hot, boy? Hurry up.
I can't even touch the after bulkhead, sir. It would take the fingers off me.
The sprinklers. Good God, boy, the magazine will go up any minute.
Aye, sir. I thought that might be the way of it. The sprinklers aren't they working? We're already 20 degrees over operating temperature.
Then turn them on by hand. They can't be frozen. Hurry, man, hurry. If the mag goes up, Ulysses is finished. For God's sake, hurry.
I've tried. They're solid, sir.
Then break them off. Use a Tommy bar.
Ready, sir. Aye, sir. I'll do that, sir. But if I do, how do we shut them off?
Well, you can't. Never mind that. We'll pump it all out later. Now, hurry, boy.
Sir?
How is it? Sprinklers all right?
You're going like the clapper, sir. And I've just come back over the Tommy bar. Wouldn't be fast enough. You know what the time of day? Hey! These sprinklers are grand. This is ankle deep already. The steam's still sizzling off the bulkhead.
Get out now, boy, and take Barker with you.
Talk about the hot house in the botanic gardens.
McQuaker, leave there at once. That's an order.
Up to my knees already. Come on, though. See something, sir?
I said get out of there!
Aye. Well, you see, sir, so easy as that. You can't. Hatchway's buckled. And the hatch cover too. Jammed. Dead solid, sir. Drop the Tommy bar, sir. I could take a stick of dynamite to the hatch, sir, and make no difference.
Commander, have Dobson send a stoker to turn off the main flooding valve aft.
Aye, sir. Bridge to engine room.
Need a main flooding valve.
McQuater, climb the ladder and check the state of the shells on the top.
The top shells, sir?
Yes.
Aye, sir.
Well,
Hartley, I need a report on the state of the fires on mess decks. We have ratings trapped in Y magazine. And I... What? Yes? Yes, yes, I see. Thank you.
It'll take half an hour to close the main valve, sir.
God, the fire directly over the magazine is an inferno, Hartley says.
Sir! You there?
Yes, McQuater. Well?
Well, sir! I couldn't climb that ladder again.
How's Williamson?
They're gone, sir. Up to his neck and hanging onto the rack, sir. He's not too good, no, sir.
And you, McQuater? Anything you'd like to say? Any message to anyone?
No, sir. Nobody. I'll tell you one thing. I'd like a transfer to the Cork Lighthouse next time round if you could find a seconder for that in the Admiralty. Williamson! I'm coming! Hold on! Hold on!
McQuater. McQuater. Can you hear? Oh, dear God.
The condors came back again twice.
We went on pitching bodies into the cold waters. Ulysses continued to take hits.
And below in the engine room, Commander Dobson and Stoker Riley went on fighting to try to keep the bent shaft of the main screw from burning out. Deep in the tunnel was no way out if Ulysses was whole. No way. There was little left. Nothing. Save her heart. Both masts gone. All boats and rafts gone. Superstructure fore and aft, shattered twisted metal. The bridge atilt, the mangled half-turret warped round the condor which stayed with us. Flickering flames. She had some guns, she had her engines for the moment.
To Officer Commanding 14 ACS, FR-77. Distressed at news. Imperative maintain 090. Battle squadron steaming south-southeast. Rendezvous 1400 tomorrow. Their lordships expressly commend best wishes to Rear Admiral. Repeat, Rear Admiral Valerie. DNO London.
Well, bloody long overdue, sir. But well done, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Battle squadron on our way. Good news.
Late, as usual. Pick up a few survivors, maybe.
As they spoke, a lone condor flew close to them through the dark, tempting. Tempting. The merchant ship took the bait, open fire.
Damn fools! You've got us pinned.
He came next with a parachute flare. It swung high over the convoy with a brilliance that tore apart the falling snow, lit the dark night into a dazzling whiteness, hanging. They came, the condors, for a third time.
And still the convoy, what was left of it, kept moving inexorably towards their rendezvous.
Well, gentlemen, here it is. News of the enemy. Tirpitz escorting destroyers. Cruisers reported moving out Altafjord at sunset. Fear FR-77 is possible target. No useless sacrifice of merchant vessels. DNO London. No useless sacrifice? Who writes these?
Ah, but she's taken the bait, gentlemen. I've been thinking, being a rear admiral brings its perks. Order all merchant ships to break north.
But, sir, we've been ordered to remain.
The Admiralty can do what they like. Tirpitz is on the move. To go east is suicide. As for what happens at the end, I don't think I'll have to answer for that. Not now. Not ever. We can go to war. Tell the convoy we'll stick with them as long as we can to provide cover. But they're on their own. Nothing else to do.
We could pray, I suppose.
And sleep. Just half an hour.
Sleep? Oh, we'll have time for that. All the time in the world, by and by.
So, Johnny Nichols sliding out again. Andy, I hate Jack's day transfers, and I hate goodbyes. Cyrus needs a medic, so I wish I could stay. I do.
Johnny, do something for me. I think I must have Scotch blood in me.
Scots. Perish the very thought.
I'm feeling... what's the word? Fey, is it? I'm feeling fey tonight, and I don't know why.
Indigestion, my boy. We'll go on a bender once we get home, eh?
I won't be seeing you again, Charlie.
Don't be bloody stupid. How the
Just
hell...
Just take this with you, huh? Read it. You can read it.
Juanita. Nice name.
Yeah. How'd you go and see her, Johnny? Will you? Please?
Damn it to hell, yes. Now, come on. I've got to go somewhere else. All the best, Pascal. Don't worry, kid. I'll see her. I'll see her. I promise. But if I find you there...
Thanks, Johnny. Hey, vaya con Dios. She always said that to me. Before I came away. Go with God.
There were 12 planes in the first wave. 12 Heinkels armed with gliding bombs.
Steady, number one.
Steady, sir.
Fire at will. All guns, fire at will.
Nulipiza's raked stem to stern, her side ripped open, the decks fold, the funnel tilted at 15 degrees, the galley and canteen at Devil's Scrapyard. Five Heinkels were down, and the convoy went on.
WT Bridge, fire in the aft turret.
Number one, steady. Keep her steady. Do you hear there? Do you hear there? I have bad news for you. Captain, Rear Admiral Valerie died 5 minutes ago. I don't think he suffered. He knew he was dying. He insisted that I thank you for the way you all stood by him. Tell them, he said. Tell them they are the best crew God ever gave a captain. Then he said, give them my apologies. I am terribly sorry to let them down like this. Then he died.
Turner can't go up against that destroyer in the state Ulysses is in.
I don't think I'd take bets on that, Lieutenant.
It may be that we shall touch the Happy Isles.
Sorry?
Tennyson, sir. Captain Valerie used to quote him.
I was working on the dying and wounded on the Cirrus the moment I made the Jack Stay transfer. Captain Orr asked me to come to what was left of his bridge.
Dear God! Will you look at that?
The German cruiser was there in the light. Huge, towering, and closing. Already Ulysses was firing. Shell after screaming shell. Ulysses was magnificent. Surging towards that German cruiser, the roar of her boiler room fans sucking in air, the shuddering frame driven by those huge engines, crashing through waves, her entire upper works a shambles. The director tower, funnels, masts, all gone, shattered,
grotesque. It was a nightmare. And then, dear God, then, streaming 20 feet in length, the battle flag stretched taut in the wind of its passing, the battle standard clattering in the wind. How I wished!
And suddenly, at 30 knots, a hole appeared, a great hole. Shellfire, maybe, or a torpedo from a U-boat. And Ulysses kept going, thundering in with her guns at maximum depression, firing and on a direct course to ram the German cruiser.
Ulysses! An air magazine blew up, blasted off the entire bows in one shattering explosion.
And Ulysses pounded on into a roll of the sea, down and down and going on, down. Driving down to the black floor of the Arctic. Driving down, her thundering, spinning engines, her own executioner. Down, Ulysses.
I was told to report to the Admiralty. I'm Nichols.
Off the Ulysses. Oh, please, come in. They're expecting you.
I wasn't told much. What is it exactly?
Admiral Starr wants to know. That is to say, their lordships want to know. What happened?
Oh, God.
Did I say something funny, Lieutenant Nichols?
Funny? Oh, no, not at all. Will it take long, do you think?
I don't know. Are you on leave? Going home to someone?
I don't think Admiral Starr will understand. I have to see someone.
Is she pretty?
I don't know. I don't know at all. You may understand. I've never met her.
Come, my friends, 'tis not too late to seek a newer world, to sail beyond the sunset and the baths of all the western stars until I die. It may be that the gulfs will wash us down, it may be the great Achilles whom we knew. That which we are, one equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will, to strive, to seek, to find, not to yield. HMS Ulysses was based on the novel by Alastair MacLean, dramatized for radio by Nick McCarty. Technical presentation was by Graham Harper, production assistant Nikki Hildebrandt. The cast, Admiral Starr, Donald Sinden, Captain Valerie, Derek Jacobi, Admiral Tyndall, John Standing, Commander Brooks, James Ellis, Lieutenant Nichols, Cal McAninch, Commander Turner, Keith Baxter, Kid Carpenter, James Callis, Ralston, Joseph Fiennes, Riley, Trevor Ray, Peterson, James Cosmo, McQuater, Ian McCall, Spicer, John Tams, Bentley, Robert Oates, Cars Lake, Sebastian Graham Jones, The Wren, Angela Douglas, the voice of Ulysses, Ian Bannon, producer Nicholas Newton, a Promenade production directed by Bill Bryden.